One of the greatest wealth building mistakes people make is just thinking you can throw stuff back to an accountant and a lawyer and think they're going to handle your life for you and your legacy. It's time for you to stand in front, take leadership of your own life, and they actually work for you, by the way.
What's better than earning money from a 9-to-5 job? It's earning money while you sleep, which is made possible if you start investing. You're listening to the Real Estate Investing Demystified with your very own dynamic duo, Ava Benesaki and August Binez. Tune in as we discuss everything real estate, both on the passive and active sides. We feature life-changing stories of today's real estate leaders that will help build your own roadmap to success. This is a show that will lead you to a diversified portfolio, a much bigger revenue, and a next-level venture that brings you a smooth cash flow. Let's get this episode started.
Welcome back to Real Estate Investing Demystified, everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, this show has been going on now for over 5 years. We've learned so much on this show with some tremendous guests we've had and so many things we didn't even know existed, particularly in the finance world, in the investing world, in financial literacy and other factors, in real estate as well. I mean, there was, you know, a lot of different ways to skin a cat, as it's known. Not a good adage, but it is.
And we started the show because it was so fascinating and quite the contrary of what we learned when we were growing up, right? And when we went to school. And you know, a lot of people that go to school, we learn math, but nobody teaches us on how to build wealth. And that's the biggest missing part in today's society, is what I believe. So, and another thing I wanted to mention is 70% of people who win the lottery, I think they go broke in like 5 years. Yeah. So it's not just about, you know, making in two years. So it's not just about, you know, money making isn't the same as keeping it or growing it. So we're going to dive into all that today with our guests. We're really excited. Anything else you want to say?
No, absolutely. Go ahead.
I'm going to dive in introducing our guest. It's Laurel Langmire. Now, Laurel is a global wealth expert, six-time New York Times bestselling author and CEO of Integrated Wealth Systems. Known as the Millionaire Maker, she's helped over 10,000 clients reach seven-figure success through her proven strategies to make, invest, and keep money. With over two decades of experience spanning finance, mentoring, real estate, business acquisition, and alternative assets, Laurel has been featured in Forbes, The Wall Street Journal, CNN, CNBC, and more. She's on a mission to change the conversation about money and hosts the popular Real Money Talks podcast, reaching millions worldwide. So welcome to the show today, Laurel. We're happy to have you here.
Welcome, Laurel.
Thank you. Excited to be here. We're going to have a great chat.
I love it. Let's dive into things. You know, we'd love to hear about your beginnings and learn, you know, how you found yourself and what we call the money coach, probably the money mentor. For example, you know, I can give you kind of a quick overview of how I got started in my career. I got into real estate at a very young age. I was 22 years old and I started my real estate career in a small town in Alberta. I mean, I did really well. Everybody knew, liked, and trusted me. And then I actually moved to the big city, which is Vancouver City in British Columbia. And I started to excel here in real estate and I surrounded myself with incredible people, like the gentleman that's sitting next to me, August. And I was able to co-found CPI Capital, where today, you know, it's real estate private equity, and we partner with investors to acquire and manage multifamily and BTR assets in Florida and Texas. But give us a quick background about how you got here today, Laurel, please.
So grew up on a farm in Nebraska, similar small town story. And then at 17, was headed off to college, university. Went to a workshop because I was headed off to play basketball. So it was a team event. Dennis Waitley was there, and back in the day, still if there are stages, run to the front of the room. So I ran to the front of the room and I got Think and Grow Rich. So that was my definitive 17, almost 18-year-old beginning. So you can imagine reading Think and Grow Rich and just from farm girl from Nebraska and just that conversation in a small town to, like you said, like wealth building's possible. Like, and so I just changed my degree, got a business degree, went to investment banker for about 1 minute, literally wasn't even a day. And I said, not going to do this. Went back to university, got a master's in exercise physiology. And I put those two degrees together on the analytics and started corporate wellness in the 90s. So in early 90s, Yeah, I went to Chevron in New Orleans on a big contract at 24 years old. I would say it's one another next defining moment. And I say those because I think people that are listening should start defining the chapters of their life and the big, I call it the yes moment, when you say yes, and then you got to figure out how to get this thing successful. So I built 272 fitness centers on offshore oil rigs, ended up in San Francisco after a long journey working with Chevron. 1996, fast forward. Bob Proctor had been a longtime mentor since I was 21. So in college, I figured out how to pay him $25,000 to start mentoring me on this Think and Grow Rich journey that I was on. And he called in 1996 and said, I think I have your transition. He introduced me to Robert Kiyosaki, Sharon Lecter. That was, again, definitive moment. I left the master distributor of the cash flow game, put cash flow in the cash flow clubs all over the world. I worked till 1999, 2000 with them. 1999, had my son, became a real estate millionaire. Again, did what I've been resisting, paid a gentleman $25,000 and said, I need to be a millionaire in real estate like right now. And he said, why? And I said, I'm going to be a single mom in September. So let's go. Flew to Oklahoma City, again, Texas, that whole Midwest corridor, became a millionaire in June of 1999. I'd say I haven't looked back, but it's been a fun journey. 2000, I left on my own, started Live Out Loud, which is now Integrated Wealth Systems. So anyone watching, I have integratedwealthsystems.com, and we'll talk more about what I do in that journey with clients. So I say the last big chapter was in 2005 when McGraw-Hill said, you know, will you write The Millionaire Maker? And that was a defining brand moment for me. Prior to that, 2000 to 2005, I did real estate tours. I took people to Norman, Oklahoma, Oklahoma City, Fayetteville, Arkansas, New Jersey. We would travel and we'd do real estate tours to show people how to start buying real estate. So I did that for quite a while and then transitioned to The Millionaire Maker. So that's a high level overview, lots of chapters and a lot of experience.
Absolutely. Tremendous background.
I can't believe she was 17 when she got her hands on Robert Kiyosaki, that Think and Grow Rich. And that's when her mindset shifted, because talking to the thousands of investors I've spoken to, a lot of people don't understand about investing or building wealth until they're in their 40s, 50s. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. So good for you. Laurel, can you give us a crash course on your platform and how you help people? So maybe you can walk us through, you know, the journey of someone seeing you on our podcast today, mm-hmm. connecting with you, and then, you know, they're looking for a money mentor. How do you help them?
By the way, it's the first time ever on a podcast I was asked that. So I love that question. So you find me, you know, from here, and typically you'll go to asklaurel.com, ask a question, make a request. A lot of people, and I have a gift link for all of your listeners today to go get 2 tickets to my Millionaire Intensive. So a lot of times that's the first meeting. It's an all-day event here in 2025 and 26. We're going to be making it only a two-hour event. We'll be doing it monthly, but it's the blocks, what I call the building blocks and the sequence of how to be a millionaire. Because like you said, so many people don't even understand how to get started. So I call it a condensed crash course. The first 2 hours is literally how do you do a gap analysis, you know, where you are, what do you want? And then in our mentoring and masterminding, we focus on income, which is business development. We also focus on investment education. We don't do investments. We teach them how to read a PPM, for example, how to look at different asset classes, how to do due diligence, how to have money rules. So once we know where they are and what they want, when they come in a variety of paths to us, it's usually an income-based, generating more active income in service of generating, you know, the highest kind of portfolio in wealth building that they want. So it's a business. So it's, they become a business owner if they want the tax strategy and investing for even further tax strategies. So a lot of our journey with the client, we will start with an onboard. So once they decide, yes, I want to be a client, there's an onboard into our academy, into our expert system. So it's me and 28 experts in almost every financial category. And after they get onboarded, they meet with me on a one-on-one, and I do what's called a sequence, which is based on what they've done to themselves. Do they need to generate more income? Most people need a tax plan. They have a horrible tax plan. They're overpaying taxes in any country. And the United States does have the greatest tax code in the world. So we usually will look at their corporate structure there. And I teach a principle called living corporate life. So companies should make money, not an individual. So there's a reroute of their entire financial foundation from taxes, corporate structure, corporate compliance, getting a trust. A lot of people don't have trust, so they'll land in probate. And I say, why build wealth and a legacy if you're going to end up in probate court and the court's going to take it anyway? So when they join, regardless if they want the income tax strategy or the investment education, which are the three big pillars, they all get a foundational review because most of them are understructured, means they're overpaying tax. They don't have a trust. They're RSPs in your case, or down in America, it's, you know, the 401ks aren't set up right. Their life insurance isn't right. So we, when we say integrate, we're taking everyone in this, you know, segregated financial space and giving them an integrated team. So basically they're not just paying for me and my expertise. They're paying for access to a team that they acquire over, you know, the time that they're with us. So it's very, very real. Like the results isn't, well, I just sat in class and learned. No, I have a new tax strategist and we have the same resources in Canada. I was married to a Canadian for 9 years. So we're heavily set into the Canadian markets and the Mexican markets. So they will leave corporately structured, great tax plan. They'll get a new tax strategist, usually a new trust attorney. So it's typically an overhaul at the foundational level, where then we go on to work on, again, the income and investment education. But why grow in either of those categories when your foundation's wrong?
Yeah, absolutely.
It seems like you have this robust onboarding process. And these service providers and experts that you have, do they get access to them as well? If it's
legal
advisors?
Yep, they become theirs. They're going to pay them to do their tax return. They're going to pay them to get their corporate structure. So they become their team. It's not just an introduction for a short-term little seminar. It's a lifetime membership for they buy a new team is basically what they're getting. And then I help facilitate the interactions and the integration. And really my key role where I spend the most time with my client is clearly business development. I know how to grow, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 figure businesses. So that marketing, all of that. So I do a lot of that intimate work with people. But just as importantly, I spend a lot of time in their new foundation because, you know, whether it's a Canadian, American, we'll just use those terms. If you have you as an individual and say three companies, which company now pays for your cell phone? Because you don't. You shouldn't pay for your phone, your car. You should have home office. I mean, I have wardrobe deductions because of what I do. Technology. There are so many deductions and ways to reduce your taxes. I mean, we find people for the cost for our membership, sometimes they'll get, you know, 1, 2, 3, 5 times back in their original tuition just in tax return reviews. Because, wow. You know, most people that do tax, and it's a worldwide problem, not just US and Canada, I call CPAs historians. Because all they do is like, Ava or Arthur, you say, here's CPA or here tax, here's accountant in Canadian terms, do my taxes. And then it's kind of hands off. It's like, no, you should be meeting with them quarterly and the higher your net worth and investment strategy monthly and really have a plan. Every move you make has a tax consequence. So why do you not have them at your side? And not just doing a historical review of your year where there's no strategy in that. Like whatever you did, it's over. Like right now, we're doing massive messaging. Like right now is when you plan your 2025. And you should know by November what your tax consequence for 2025. It shouldn't be a surprise, you know, as we move into the next year. So we do a lot for the client. And then we do a lot with the client, if that makes sense. Because a lot of times they won't do it, so we just do it. I mean, we just have bookkeeping teams and paralegal teams, and they just get it done so the client's taken care of. Where I spend time is, you know, Ava, you now have three companies in you. Which credit card are you going to use? How are you really going to run the business? Because so many people just leave it with their lawyers and accountants. And I don't think so. I know that's one of the greatest wealth building mistakes people make is just thinking you can throw stuff back to an accountant and a lawyer and think they're going to handle your life for you and your legacy. It's time for you to stand in front, take leadership of your own life. And they actually work for you, by the way. You don't work.
Yeah, that's right. The problem is that a lot of people, they hand their stuff off to their accountant. Their accountant does a tax return. And their accountant isn't aware of all the tax strategies that they should be using as well. So they just kind of throw something together, they file taxes, and that's it. So finding the right accountant, I'd say, is probably the biggest.
Yeah, but this is more than that, because it's not just finding a right accountant. It's an accountant that's servicing all of these investor types that are coming from this one platform. Exactly. So you're going to take better care of them because, you know, there's a lot of business coming to you. So they're going to be taken care of in a much higher level. And they've seen a lot of different problems.
But finding that accountant, that's hard for people. That's what I'm saying. It's actually finding that accountant. So
Laura, I'm saying, you come to us, we're a one-stop shop.
Exactly. I love it.
You come to us and our account. I mean, we meet as a team, Canadian and US, we meet, we go through strategies. Like right now, the US has what's called the Big Beautiful Bill, which is now law. It'll get more aggressive in 26. So, I mean, that came out July 8th, for example. The 7th, our tax strategists, what we call them, we don't call them accountants or CPAs, just to differentiate. We're going to strategize your life forward, not just do a historical review of what you did. So it's very active engagement. It is very different. So to your point, Ava, my message is not go out and find someone new. It's come to us and let me help you find somebody.
Exactly.
And I'm not training yours. So actually, I want to qualify that. So don't hand me your person and think I'm going to train your person for you. You're going to get rid of your person and come
and yours.
Engage one of ours.
Yeah. All right. We want to extract as much information from you as possible. So let us get to the next point here.
Yeah. So let's discuss the investment journey. Okay. So step one is really people wanting more for their life. You know, they want more than just being a business owner. They want more than just being an employee. They want more than just trading the time for money. This is more of a realization that investing exists and building wealth exists. So let's spend some time on this, right? The clients that come and see you, they've passed this realization, right? Obviously, if they came to you seeking you as a coach, where they're at this journey because they have, you know, at some point realized that rather than trading their time for money, they want to get their money working for them, and they have started to get their money for working for them. So talk to us about.
Do you provide a lending hand to these individuals to utilize investing as part of their lives? Or have they already made that decision? Talk to us about kind of a starting investor type that comes and sees you.
So the people who come to us come for the holistic integration. So investing is a part of it, right? It's not all of it. It's a part of it. And the biggest pattern we teach, because I do a lot of behavioral teaching with money, you know, like we said earlier, most people have no idea what a wealth builder is or even the opportunity to be an entrepreneur. So, I mean, my YouTube channel is from 5 years old and up. It's family friendly, intentionally to put this together, that it's not, doesn't have to be these phases or the segregated approach. It's very integrated. So when their foundation is ready and they have money, whether it's RSP, 401k money, cash, their business is thriving, they're a high income earner, they make a lot of money, but they're overpaying taxes. Investing has got to be part of the tax plan in real estate, gas and oil. I mean, aviation, there's a lot of depreciating assets. So we start the education, all of it straight away. Like the first thing, I mean, they're getting the smorgasbord. In fact, my mentoring is called the big table because you're getting a smorgasbord of the entire table and they'll start consuming it. So a lot of times, like I have a real estate is leverage, how I became a millionaire, an 8-week course. And they get all that for part of their membership. So we don't do, like you said, do I do a lending hand? I do an educational hand. Like we won't do it for them, but we educate them. How do you get started in real estate? Or if you already are started, like I have people coming to me that are worth $10 million and they're plateaued out in their real estate investing and they want to now go to the next level, take on bigger projects, do syndications like you guys are doing. So it depends. I mean, they could be a beginning investor to a very advanced that needs like support on the next level. So our range is really wide because I have such a big team of support that really helps.
But investing in particular is a very important component of this, because with somebody being a high income earner coming and seeing you and says, help me with tax strategies, that investing component is where they allow, which Ava mentioned, is allowing their money to work for them rather than exchanging their time for money, really.
Yeah. And it's two things in our world, because especially in the US, I mean, you get bonus depreciation. Having real estate in your portfolio is vital. So again, they get to make their own decisions. We do have some folks that are licensed where they need to be licensed to tell them to do it. But our approach is, you know, we're going to teach you to fish. We're not fishing for you. So we have, you know, all sorts of education. We have past PPMs, for example, like we'll have a class where we're just dissecting a deal. Like maybe it'd be one of your past deals and what was good about it. I mean, that's how we teach through real life examples of what happened. So I always say with a PPM or some sort of a project is, would you do it yes or no? And here's the hardest, like educational question. If you had to make it a yes, what would you have to change? Would it be the management team? Would it be, I mean, sometimes it's just the fundamentals. It's just, it doesn't work. Would you change the marketing plan? Would you change the sales approach? With like, I did a lot of land development in the last 5 years. You know, do you actually develop all of the property or do you sell out, you know, parcels? So we give a very broad education of all of the kinds of investing that they could do and then point them to real life examples. Like I said, I have over 10,000 millionaires, almost every category in industry, I've got a millionaire. So we put them together. So it's a true learning environment, real life. People fly to different people's projects to see projects. We've got a variety of people bus projects across the country, solar projects, plastic manufacturing projects. I mean, our clients do a lot of cool stuff, and that's where they find each other. But as far as the money working for you, you know, it's so interesting getting people to really understand what does that really mean? Because I don't think there's such a thing as true passive. Because if you're truly passive, like if I did a deal with you guys, I wouldn't just sit back here passively and say, oh, Ava, Arthur, hope it all works out, right? I want to look at your quarterly statements. I want to be involved as an investor. And so we teach them that side of it, that this isn't the park and pray method, you know,
exactly.
With your syndication, you need to be involved. If they have a shareholder meeting or an investor meeting, you go to the meetings, you start learning and listening. And if you're really, really smart, you're going to go visit the project, make sure you understand what you're investing in. So we do I do a lot of the behavioral push because people, and there's a lot of people who don't want to learn it. They just want to park and pray, but they want the result of somebody who's active. And it's like,
of course,
you know, you're not going to get the home runs if you don't have to do the singles.
Laurel, give us an idea of the net worth of profile of your client. Is it someone, you mentioned somebody that might have 10 million. Do you have blue collar who makes 50K a year as well? Do you have a whole spectrum?
Yep. I got a whole spectrum. I have the people who are just beginning in this journey and people all the way to a gentleman who actually ran syndications and then came like at the end of that, wanting to cash out over $100 million or reset. I wouldn't say cash out, reset over $100 million portfolio in real estate. Yeah, through 1031s, through new strategies to be less on the front of the syndication and become more of the passive, you know, position. So it's a wide range and we have wide support. It's really unique. What most people said, how did you build it? And I said, it built by the client base. As clients came, they kept asking for more and more. And it just kept getting wider. I mean, you know, I'm a millionaire in 8 different industries. Real estate's only one of them. I've got recycled glass. I've done supplement businesses. It's a pretty wide range that we educate, teach, and point to. We've done a lot of franchise work with our clients. And we've actually started some franchises, Tudor Doctor.
With the spectrum of clients that you have coming to you, right? Each client kind of has to be, your advice to them has to almost be tailor made, right? Because, you know, you have this person that comes to you, now they believe that they have to be an investor alongside whatever else it is that they do, or maybe even completely transition into being an investor. Yeah. How do you advise your clients and what options exist for them? Because I'm sure you're aware, we're aware, correct me if I'm wrong, that depending on the investor's net worth, you know, liquidity and income that they make, the investment allocations will have to be different and tailor-made to, and obviously the advice that you give them, you know, somebody with $20 million in assets, let's say, might have a different diversified portfolio than say somebody who only has 50K that year to allocate to something
and
else.
The age as well. Somebody who's younger can take a bit more risk. Somebody who's older wants to be a little bit more, you know, passive and less risky. So,
So what are your thoughts on that, Laurel?
So I'm going to say thoughts and I'm going to adjust as correct. I don't give any advice. I am not financially licensed to give advice. So there's no advice giving on my side. Mine's education. And I do a lot of my education and we do as a team through scenarios. So for example, Ava, you came on, I'm not running your spreadsheets for you. We don't have that level of detail unless you hire those level of financial analysts. We do have financial analysts you can hire that will do it. But that, again, that's something you need custom to your team because you don't have a team to put that together. So we have people to supplement teams. So the people that are higher net worth, I mean, typically they have a financial advisor or their own in-house tax, you know, strategist on their team, or they'll use our tax strategist with their financial analyst. So this is also like we have people who build family offices out of here. So the detail down to spreadsheets, I am never at that level. Our tax strategists are, the bookkeepers are, if they employ the financial analyst. Again, my goal is to show you what a smorgasbord of an expert team and a wealth team should look like. And we go from there. So I teach in broader terms. And then one-on-one, the client also gets a coach in the area of expertise they want to grow. So if it's real estate, I've got multimillionaires in real estate. Our coaches have come through our client base. So they are walking testament to the work. They know the foundational work that needs to be done. They know the tax work is imperative. I mean, we lead with tax. So where you should buy properties and how you buy and what you buy. So like syndication, for example, would have a different depreciation schedule than them buying directly themselves into their own LLC, right? So if they need that, then that's where they would go look.
Got it. So you got a tailor-made for all types of investors. Talk to us about one more thing. You know, being in the syndication space, and we fall under the category of alternatives, you know, off the really Wall Street type of investments. And a lot of large institutions actually invest in alternatives, like when you have university endowments, pension funds, sovereign wealth funds, they do all have an allocation to alternatives, be it a smaller allocation. But when it comes to a function of a financial advisor, is a service provider that works hand in hand with somebody who comes and sees you, or is your thesis that a financial advisor might not allow someone to have enough allocations and alternatives? There's better ways to invest. What is your view on financial advisors overall?
They're traditional, and they work for a house, whether it's, you know, Schwab, Fidelity, whoever, you know, Royal Canadian Bank. Their typical self-direction is they're going to put money, they're only going to allocate back to their own financial vehicles. They're not going to go out. There are some alternative financial advisors, which we do have some of those on the team for the people who do not want to make a decision, and they got to have an advisor with those licenses to do it. So they can go meet with them. But again, ours are very alternative centric. But what you're going to find out in the markets, which is why I call it park and pray, is most financial planners are going to do, you know, what their little pie chart from their local, you know, broker dealer is going to tell them to do, which most of that is, as you know, stock-based, not real estate-based.
Yes, it's fixed income and equities. So it's bonds and stocks. It's been classic. It's been like that forever. But
no, we're heavily into my third Millionaire Maker book. My first one's The Millionaire Maker. The second is The Cash Machine, How to Build a Seven-Figure Business. And the third is Wealth Cycle Investing, which is how to invest in the alternatives.
Yeah, we want to run through a few more things. We still got our second segment of our show. So let's run through some of these quickly as possible. Let's talk about legacy. I've watched a couple of your show you've been on prior to coming on ours, getting to know more about you. Talk to us about someone who is later on in their investing journey. They've done well. They have this a good nest egg, or they have a company that they could liquidate, or they've recently liquidated. What does that look like? I don't want to call it advice just to stay compliant, but what is your education there when it comes to financial literacy of what should that transition look like? Is it just mainly focused on putting together the right trust? Do you chat at all about maybe their kids taking over their business? Like, how involved do you get in someone who's sitting on a $10 million business that they're about to sell or they just recently have sold? How involved are you as far as what they should do, or kind of, you know, are you a sounding board? Like, how involved do you get?
So again, I'm 100% on the behavioral side. So again, down to how do they actually, you know, pay bills and function inside their corporate structures, which most people do not know how to function inside their corporate structure compliance. When it comes to legacy, again, big conversations. And I start again, I think a legacy is divided into two things: the inheritance, which is the stuff you're giving away, and then the legacy, which is the roots, the wings, like in the values of your, like we teach Rockefeller style. Right. So if you've amassed this wealth and you have a $10 million company, first of all, should you or not sell it is a legacy decision based on tax. Right. Again, we lean heavily into, you know, do you want a huge capital gains on that, or do you want that to be bought over time? Again, our tax teams are heavily involved. The legacy part I spend a ton of time with is, you know, most people have amassed a fair amount of money, even if it's only $500,000, and you're literally going to leave it to trust fund kids or educated kids. So our charity has always been bring your kids for free. So parents, grandparents become clients of ours. And I want those kids coming, because if they're going to inherit it, do they have the will and wishes, especially like with real estate? Last thing you guys want is someone to pass, not have a trust, so whatever ends up in a probate court. So the obvious, you can trust. But in a lot of cases, if you have three kids and they're very, very different, like my kids, I have two kids, they're very different. They each have their own trust. They have their own rules. They have their own way that they're going to get there. Because the number one breakup of a legacy is within 2 years, there's no blueprint for the kids. It was a disaster when they got it. In a worst case, they went to probate, but let's just say they got through it. And then the daughter doesn't want to manage the real estate, or the son doesn't want the, you know, cannabis business or whatever it is. They should have already had that the assets, in my opinion, transferred to the kids. I mean, when they pass, it should be over, like game's out. Like the work has been done, and the kids own it. The kids run it. They don't destroy it. They don't sell it off. They don't go into lawsuits. So I do a lot behaviorally that if you're really going to do this, you've got to get your kids in line.
Quick question for you. Somebody comes to your platform. They have that initial onboarding call with you. How accessible are you for them? Like, can they book calls with you?
Absolutely. 100%. They get my cell. Yeah, but in the beginning, it's usually the first 18 months, 2 years, that they need a lot of help because it's such a different life. But then over time, I've been doing the Big Table since 2001. I mean, I've got clients for 25 years. That's my 25th year. And they'll come to me maybe once or twice a year because they need a reset. But the first year, year and a half, it's a lot for a family to reset their entire life, living corporate life, living through companies and trust structures versus their own personal bank account.
Got it. Let's run through a few more quick questions before we get to the second segment of the show. I think it's a good one here. Ava asked this before we move on.
I did have a question I wanted to ask you, Laurel. What are some of the most common financial mistakes you see even successful entrepreneurs make?
They pay off debt too soon. All the time.
I love that. And that's contrarian when it comes to Dave Ramsey, because he talks about paying everything off. I don't agree with that. And especially in the US, the type of, you can get a 30-year term mortgage in Canada is 5 years. You get that at a low interest rate. You've hit the lotto. And the most millionaires around the world is because of that primary resident, the equity they've built in that property over the years, right? So yeah, taking a mortgage and buying your property is probably the smartest thing you could do.
Yes.
Okay, let's get started the second segment of our show. We've got 8 minutes, so let's bang this through. Thank you so much for everything you share so much. Can't wait to come to one of your events, but let's start the next segment of the show.
Okay, here we go. The 10 championship rounds to financial freedom. Laurel, are you ready?
I guess I'm ready. Before I do that, because I don't want to go too far to the end, if in the show notes, you can put asklaurel.com/podcast and they can get the 2 tickets. They get my whole Millionaire Maker book, ebook. They get a whole bunch of gifts. So
amazing.
Go get all the goodies.
Perfect. It'll be in the show notes.
Thank you for that. Okay. First question. Who's been the most influential person in your life?
Bob Proctor.
Okay. Right on.
Give us a quick background. Why?
Because he was my mentor from 21 to about 35. And then I became his business partner for 7 years. And we made millions of dollars together as business partners. And then we just stayed dear friends till his passing. I was the last endorsement on my Make Your Kids Millionaires book. He gave me, I have 4 days before his passing, the last endorsement of our book. He's just been
incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. Okay, Laurel, next question. What is the number one book you would recommend?
Aside from all the books that you've written yourself.
Mine. I got to put Think and Grow Rich because it was my 17-year book. Got to do Think and Grow
Rich. Amazing. Great recommendation. I think I have it sitting here.
Do you? Purple Bible? Think and Grow Rich. I was thinking of, never mind. Yes. Sorry, I'm thinking something else. Amazing. Yeah. Okay, right on. Okay, next question. If you had the opportunity to travel back in time, what advice would you give your younger self?
Oh, I love that one. I can go so many ways. I'd say hire faster. Hire the people you need faster to get those who have the skills on your team as fast as you can. And even if you don't have the money, I don't care if you take out a 0, 2, 3, 5% loan, get team because you cannot do it alone.
Amazing. Absolutely. Amazing advice. Awesome. Next question. What is the best investment you've ever made?
Myself, my kids.
Investing in yourself, kids. Absolutely.
100% education, learn.
Right on. Now, next question is, what's the worst investment you've ever made? And what lessons did you learn from it?
Oh, wow. I would say worst investment, not necessarily a category. It's the team got greedy or the team that I invested in fell apart and the deal went south. So I'd say it's got to be in the team category of why my deals, especially alternative deals, fell apart. The deals broke up. Somebody died. I've had that happen where they didn't have, we ended up in probate with part of the syndication. Like, it's the deals falling apart because of the partners. So, and that I constantly work on that today is how do you put better structure around the responsibility of the team?
Right on. Perfect. Next question, Laurel. How much would you need in the bank to retire today? What's your number?
Well, I don't like the word retirement because it's agricultural. It means to go to pasture to die. If I want to just stop, well, first of all, I'm like on too much of God's plan. Like I would have been gifted the most amazing gift to see money sequences, behavior. So I'll do what I'm going to do till the day I die, just like Bob Proctor did. I don't know if I have a number because I have a huge, huge, I have a huge asset base, which then generated a huge lifestyle. As we went to the show, I just told you my daughter became a pilot. So now I'm going to have to buy another plane. So I don't even have the psychology for that.
Yeah.
But it would be a minimum of, I mean, I would say most people, I'll just go there. Most people, if they did it really right, could do anywhere between 3 to 5 and be okay. If they've had a bigger experience in life like I've had, it's going to have to be in the 5 to 10s or 10s to 20 million. It's just, it's whether you're willing to shift. And I'm not willing to shift any of that. I'm on a fun jam.
You're enjoying your life. I love it. Great answer. That's amazing. Next question, Laurel. If you could have dinner with someone dead or alive, who would it be?
I traveled the Trump tour back in the day. That's how now I dated myself a lot. So when he had Trump University right before the Rich Dad Poor Dad sold to Russ, you know, Whitney and that whole crew, I would like to, at this point, go back and have dinner with Trump. It's been that long since I've been with him. Nice. One-on-one.
Nice. My sister just had dinner with him not too long ago. She used to be Miss Universe and she used to work for Trump and she was in Mar-a-Lago not too long ago, but go on.
Nice. All right. Next question is, if you weren't doing what you're doing today, what would you be doing now?
If I didn't become the millionaire maker, which again, that was a McGraw-Hill saying, hey, want to write the book? I'm like, I don't know how to write a book. That's a whole story. That's a whole podcast alone. I would probably still be doing real estate, just, you know, focused on singularly real estate. But I had that gas and oil background because of Chevron. I worked there. So I'd probably be doing real estate, gas and oil deals because that's kind of
how about basketball? How about anything in basketball related? You used to play, no?
Yes. Well, I still like shoot around. I'm not that great. I ski.
Okay.
If I could do not like nothing, I'd ski. I've skied all over the world and I still ski. I will continue to ski. My world-class ski.
I was going to say come meet us in Colorado, March. When are we going?
I'd rather go to
2 weeks of March.
I'd rather go to your world. I'd rather go to Kicking Horse and
Whistler.
Went to Whistler last Christmas with my daughter. Yeah.
Nice. Cool.
Nice. Next question, Laurel. Book smarts or street smarts?
Street. It's both, but if I had to choose, I'm going for street smarts because I can tell you that's how I've learned it.
Of course.
Amazing. Yeah. Last question, Laurel. If you had $1 million in cash and you had to make one investment today, what would it be?
Real estate.
Right on.
Nice. Perfect.
It would be.
Really appreciate that. We were going to ask you to share.
I'm not saying that just because you guys, like, I know where I'd go. I know what I want. I'd buy land over and over and over.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, we were going to ask you to tell people how they can reach out, how they can connect with you. But you mentioned it earlier, but maybe say it quickly again.
Yep. AskLaurel.com. So it's A-S-K-L-O-R-A-L. Spell my name right. LORAL.com/podcast. You get all my gifts. You can also ask a question there. And that's how we begin this journey. Stay in touch.
Thank you for joining us for this episode. We hope this conversation enlightened you on how to win big in this highly profitable and risk-averse space. Get on your feet and embrace this world that offers so many opportunities just waiting for you out there. Continue your journey to becoming a savvy real estate expert by subscribing to the show at cpicapital.ca. Don't forget to leave a positive rating and share with your friends. See you on the next one.